Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're here with mothers and daughters around the world. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and we are talking to mothers and daughters literally around the world. What an exciting Saturday morning, I tell you. It's so interesting. I love it when I wake up and I'm learning new things, and that's the way I'm going to put it. You know, sometimes you can do something over and over and over and over again, and there's always a little something that wants to come into existence to teach you something else. So that made the morning very interesting, and I want to say thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for being patient with us and be a part of this movement. I really, truly appreciate that. As well as my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. I can truly say that and know that I can say that on her behalf, you know, because we do this from our hearts. We don't play with it. We work it. We really do from the sincerity of our heart. And with that, Father God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so very, 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 very much choosing us to carry out this part of your plan. Father God, you could have chosen anyone, but you chose us to do this. And we enjoy doing it. That's the good thing about it, Father. We do it with love. We do it with excitement in our heart. We do it with anticipation. We do it with knowing that we're pleasing you. And Father, we look directly at you. We're not looking at the right. We're not looking at the left. We're not paying attention to what people are saying. It doesn't matter. The only thing, Father, is in you and following your lead. Father God, I know the plan is so great that you couldn't even give us the plan. We wouldn't be able to handle the plan. You can only reveal it to us in little doses because that's the way, and even at that, sometimes it's overwhelming. But you created us for this part of your plan. And I just thank you, and Father, I ask you to bless every mother and daughter around the world, touch their hearts, and more importantly, Father, touch their minds, because what's in their mind is going to filter down to what they believe in, and it's going to create the feelings in their heart. So, Father God, this morning with mothers and daughters coming together, uniting around the world, bringing fathers and sons with them, we're creating that new vision that you have that is a godly family operating according to your will and your plan. And we're just a small part of that, Father, but I don't count that lightly, because any part of your plan is the fulfillment of your plan. And I thank you for choosing me. Little as I am in this big, big world, to be a part of your plan with mothers and daughters. Thank you. Appreciate it. All in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and I sincerely mean that from my heart. You have to really love what you're doing, know that you're in your mission, in order to have the strength to go through some of the things that you will encounter. And a lot of times you say to yourself, why? You know, I used to ask God why, and then I got the message, don't ask me why. You know, just do what I ask you to do. And as children, we sometimes want to think that we know what's good for us. We really don't know. You don't know the big picture. There's only one person that created this big master plan. And you don't know what the plan is. So when I got that, I said, you know what, Bessie? You can run around. You can come up with all these things that you think that you're hearing. Just settle yourself down for about 3 weeks. A couple of months ago, God kept saying, be still and know that I'm God. He even had me look up each word, dissect it, and he talked to me about it. Be still and know that I'm God. There's nothing that you need to do until you have instructions actually to do it. And you will know when it's time to do it, because I will bring the people and the resources to you at that time. But the hardest thing for us to do is to be still, because we are taught and we're raised in a world that there is an imaginary ladder, that you must climb this ladder in order to get to success. See, that was an image that was placed in our minds even as we were coming through school. You must get your education. You must do this in order to get here. And I'm not saying anything about not getting education. Let me make that very clear. Because the education is something that you're going to get every day in some form or the other. But the education for life is what God allows to happen in your life according to what you believe or your faith is. So with all that being said, mothers and daughters, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about your creation and God's creation. Your creation, I'll say, versus God's creation. For the newcomers coming on, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. My co-host, Cynthia Oliver, I'm sure she's out there. I have not gone to the switchboard to look. But usually I can depend on her being there. Thank every one of you for tuning in. This is a Saturday morning, and I know that you have many things to do, but your spirit has brought you to this conversation. And I'm glad about that. I really am. If you would, please, if you would text your mother and daughter friend, father and son friend, tell them we're on the air. We're having a conversation. And our stimulating topic today is, the truth is it, mothers. The truth is it. They can call us at 347-539-5078 to listen. Click 1 if they want to join the conversation when I get to the switchboard. I'll be more than happy to try to get you on to find out exactly what your thoughts are. We're here at the roundtable on Blog Talk Radio in our 6th year. This is Saturday morning, and I was telling someone just last week, out of 6 years, I probably missed probably about 5, 6, maybe 7 shows due to events. Never, ever just to get up on Saturday morning to say, you know, I don't feel like it today. We do not have the equipment at this time in our present hand to be able to air at our events, and that's coming. It's going to be shortly. But in the meantime, if we have an event, we do the event, and eventually God's going to appoint somebody that can do the show, or we could do a show, run an old show. I just don't really like that, because we're live. And if we're not going to be here, I don't want somebody to go and hear something and have a thought and can't ask the question. It's just like, why would you put it out there? So that's kind of some of the things that I'm waiting on God to give me some answers on, and how he to display us on Saturday mornings, no matter where we are. Have a good idea how it's going to happen. Place already and shown me some visions of what instruments we can use to make that happen. So hopefully all of these things will come together quickly, and you won't be able to miss us wherever we are. Again, our stimulating topic this morning is, the truth is it, mothers. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the round table as we move forward. We had a wonderful, wonderful event last Saturday, April the 25th. We had the Mother and Daughter Health Fair Forum. You know, as long as I've been doing this, since 1999, got the message in 1997 that I will be doing one final thing, and it was from 1997 to 1999 when I really got the fullness of what God wanted me to do, and that was he anointed me to work with mothers and daughters, the healing of the mother and daughter relationship. And no matter how you plan something out, God has the original plan. It is the most amazing thing. You know, it's just like you have all the plans and you have everything in place, and you think, and then all of a sudden God will come in and make it his own. He will make anything. I remember the time when God said to me, I said, Lord, I don't want to miss you. This is about 2 or 3 years ago. I said, I don't want to miss you. I am working very hard, and I want to make sure that I hear you. I don't want to miss what you're telling me to do. And God spoke to me and said, you can never miss me. No matter what you do, you can do something a million ways wrong, meaning missing what I've asked you to do, misunderstanding, making the wrong choices. But since you asked me to lead and guide you, I've got 2 million things that'll match up to make it right. And I'll never forget that. So he said, you can never miss me. That's why if you ever want, I like to go and just turn and open the Bible and say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? And just close my eyes and open. Some people say, oh, that's dangerous. How can it be dangerous? It's the word of God. Nothing is dangerous about that except for not reading it. And when I read it, it's just perfect for that moment. Now, I know many of you, all of you, that are really reading the Bible and having this communication with God have experienced that. And you'd be like, wow, that was just for me. Of course it was. Because I said to God, I said, God, no matter what I do, I mean, it seemed like that is the word I need. And he said, I know, because I'm God. No matter where you open that book, it's going to be what I want to do. I'm going to answer what's on your heart. It's going to be there. And I thought, wow, he's right. I'm God. And I'm going to put your hand at the right spot where you need to. So that's the experience we had last week. It was the most dynamic, spirit-filling movement of God that you've ever thought of. And we all walked away so blessed. We all walked away so blessed. I was like, God, you're just awesome. And the one thing I like about this, when God does something and when he tells me, like at the event, just as he was talking to me, he was talking to Cynthia. And Cynthia came and said, Dr. Fletcher, I need to talk to you. Pull me to the side. I said, I know what you're going to say. The minute she started, I knew exactly what she was going to say because God had just told me to tell me. He anointed me to do it. So he brought, he told me, and he brought Cindy to confirm, go tell her now, so she won't question and wonder if she's hearing what I'm saying. And we moved on it like a dime, and the blessings flowed. And I just want to thank each and every person that attended last week. It was absolutely awesome. I would not trade it for anything in the world, the blessings that came out of that. And this week was just an extension of those blessings. It is our time, mother and daughters. It is our time, mothers. It is 10, 15 years in the making. And you wonder, how long? Remember we did that a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Not long. See, it seems like it's a long time, maybe in the physical world, but it's not but a blink of an eye to God. And in his timing, it's going to come together, and it can never be broken. Time is now, and his hands is moving. In the ministry of Mothers and Daughters Faith Trust Ministries, and the work that we're doing, and his plan is now like a flower, it's opening up. I thank God that we didn't faint, that we continue to stand, and now we're just watching. You know, I don't have to do anything. I do not have to do anything. I don't have to pick up a phone. I don't have to do anything until he says, okay, now do this. And that's the way I'm doing my life, living my life. I'm doing the things in my life that way. And I learned that I am really having a good time relaxing. I used to didn't know how to relax. This is really good. All right, if you need to speak to me or ask the question or be a part of anything that we're doing, you want to contact me, you can contact me through drbessie1@gmail.com. That's DrBessie1, the number one, at gmail.com. For the newcomers coming on, our stimulating topic this morning is the truth is it, mothers. Let's see where we are now. Our foundation, I like to say this because you never know who's on and people are coming in and out, and you got newcomers every week, just so that they know. We're based on Ezekiel 16:44. And in that passage, God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And you don't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. It is what it is. As is the mother, so is the daughter. It will define its truth within your heart. You know what those words mean to you. Govern yourself according to that, you know, because even when you read the Bible and I read the Bible, we can read the same passage. I will get one revelation, you get another. Everything is according to where you are in your belief system. So keep that in mind. As is the mother, so is her daughter. All right, let's go to a couple weeks ago we talked about now is all that we have. We did part one and two. And we talk about the now. We talk about everything is present right now, at this moment, at this time, currently, at this instant, immediately, at once. And, you know, what does it mean? It means now. You don't have to add anything to that or take anything away from it. It means now. Anything that you want to do, you need to know that you can do it right now. You got to have that kind of faith that it is now. When you say now, that means you believe it. I have healing in my body now. I have healing in my mother and daughter relationship now. It becomes real when you decide it is right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't talk about yesterday. Don't worry about the left or the right, what people are saying about you. You got to stay focused on right now, this moment. We are fine. Get into that. Feel that. That will generate an energy that will surpass any thoughts of negative. Generate love. right now can only be good. There's no evil in right now. Right now is the presence of God. This is what he gives you, the present. That is right now. And right now is good. Think of it. Just feel it. Right now is good. Just say it. It's good. Wow. You just feel that energy. It feels really good to you. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for hatred on the moment. The enemy wants you to get outside of down because he can't control you in right now. What he tries to do is to take you out of now to make you worry about what's coming, what bills you need to pay, what they're saying or what they said, take you backward, what they've done to you. It's always about something going to happen or something that's, as they can say, done happen. I mean, think about it. That's where he's at. He can't mess with now because God is inside of the circle of now that's around you. And if you stay there, you will always be in the now, even as you are evolving into the now, evolution of nowness. That's where you are. Stay there. Don't let him steal the thought. Don't let the enemy steal the thought. Okay? Last week, we were at the Mother and Daughter Forum. I've already talked to you about that. It was a forum of transitions. And you'll hear a little bit more about that as we go through the next couple of weeks. And that brings us to our stimulating topic today. The truth is it, mothers. The truth is it. The truth is now. The truth is not up in the future. The truth is not behind you. The truth is now. You live the truth. You have to believe that the truth is inside your present. Mothers, the way you define truth is the basis of how you communicate. Whether you're right or wrong, your decisions are based on what you believe to be the truth. It is very hard to change your daughter's thoughts or even to change your own thoughts when you think that you're right. Have you ever been around someone that they're arguing back and forth? What is an argument? Because one person has a belief system, the other one has a belief system, and out of that, whatever the topic is of the discussion, each person are trying to define their truth. Because their belief system, they believe that they're right. And when you believe that you're right, it's very, very hard to convince a person that they're wrong. And even if they think and it hit their spirit that they're wrong, they don't want to concede. They don't want to say, I'm wrong. They'd rather argue it on out and pretend as if the truth did not hit their spirit. But in the midst of the debate, whether it's the midst of a debate between a mother and her daughter, no one's really listening. Everybody's just shouting out words. And sometimes they get to the point where one try to find a word that they know will hurt the other. You're talking about words like a weapon. Words will cut your legs off and leave you on your knees. Words will stab your heart. So when you are in a debate with your daughter's mother, and daughters, when you are in a debate with your mother, you're both out of order. See, you're both out of order. Each one trying to prove their position And how does that look with a daughter arguing with a mother? How does it look with a mother arguing with a daughter? Excuse me, this morning my voice is kind of cracked, but I'm just going on anyway. A mother should never debate with her daughter. Never. Never. You are the role model. You are the one to set the example. How dare you argue with your daughter? I know it's not cut and dry, because I find myself sometimes, boys coming up when I'm trying to get my point over. I mean, we all do it, but we have to learn to do better. This is the lesson today. After today, I'm going to do better. I've been working on it and working on it, but this lesson today, my level of wisdom to a different level. I told you, I'm a student. God is teaching me the lesson, and I get up on Saturday morning and I share that with you. Any part of this lesson that I'm being taught, if it resonates in your spirit and your soul, take it, because that's the way God teaches. He teaches through us. He taught us through Jesus. Come on now. He teaches through you to someone else. We're all being used to teach someone else. So he teaches mothers and daughters through me. That's my assignment. But I also know now I can't act ignorant and act as if I don't know. I'm not going to debate with my daughter ever again, because he's already shown me. You should never debate with your daughter, and your daughter should never debate with you. Mothers, you should always refer to the Word of God to teach your daughter the lessons to learn through you. Remember, we were made in his image, and God is the ultimate teacher. Now, somebody might say, what do you mean God is the ultimate teacher? Jesus is the teacher. Well, hey, what did Jesus say? I only do what my Father does, and I only say what my Father say. Hey, who is that? That's God. So God suited up to come down and through Jesus and said, let me just teach you how this goes. Let me give you some examples. And he put the worst case scenarios in the Bible. I mean, you can imagine all the wonderful things that happened. He chose some of the worst case scenarios to say, no matter what you do, I'm still with you. I will not leave you. I'm going to be with you, mothers. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is consult me. I have the answers. Come to me. There's no need for a debate. There is nothing but the truth. How do you get the truth? You can't get the truth except through God. That's it. You got to go to the truth maker. You can't go to Walmart and get the truth. You can't get it at the mall. You can't even buy it. It's free. All you got to do is ask for it. And he says what? The truth will set you free, because the truth is free. It's only for the asking and the believing. So he sent his master teacher, Jesus, to teach us daughters and our son. That's why it's important for the mother to get the wisdom from God. Then she could take that wisdom to teach her children. But see, the enemy wants to keep the mother so confused, so busy. Oh, you're so important. You got to be teaching. You got to be doing this. You got to be doing that. But you leave your daughter out of the mix. You're helping everybody else, but you're not saving your own daughter. And I see sometimes mothers laughing and talking and enjoying their friends, just just really very casual. And then when they get to talk to their daughter and the daughter wants to ask one question, they snap at them. Leave me alone. What you want? You're bothering me. But they don't take that same attitude with their friends. You see how hypocritical that is? The daughter sees that and she shuts down. Oh, so you, that's okay. You love them better than you love me. Once she make a decision, on where your love is in the balance of her life, everything else is measured by that. And then when you get up to an age you need them to help take care of you, they're going to remember those conversations. They're going to remember. She didn't have time for me. Why should I have time for her? And then you wonder why your daughter's treating you the way that she's treating you. Think about it. I don't have to say any more about that. Mothers, you did not raise your daughter without seeking the wisdom of God for the instructions for your daughter. Now, I'm going to give you an example. If you bake this wonderful cake and everywhere you go, people are saying to you, can you break that cake? Can you bring your favorite cake? And joy just comes up in your spirit. You say, wow, because you know that brings pleasure to someone. And you get there with the cake, and everybody's cutting on it. The cake's gone. It's like, oh, all the cake's gone. Man, oh, man, that's the best. You're listening to the words of enjoyment from other people that have eaten your cake. Now, you created that cake. You know exactly what's inside of that cake. Even if it's a recipe, you know, sometimes we'll just throw something in there that's a little different. You know, you done made it your own. And people come and say, what in the world did you put in that cake? I love that cake. What did you put in that cake? And you just smile and say, oh, it's an old family recipe. Because, see, you want to keep that recipe for yourself. Because the moment you decide to share that recipe, and if you're honest and you give them every ingredient down to the pinch of something, that is no longer yours. It is now. You don't control it anymore. You don't own it anymore because you've shared it with other people. So they have a rightful ownership to use that because you gave it to them. Even though some people say, but they can never make it like I make it. That's a matter of opinion. But if you give them everything down to the pinch of something, it's going to come pretty darn close to what you made, enough to satisfy the taste bud. But guess what? The cake is not yours anymore. The cake belongs to everybody that has the recipe. So what we do, we have this recipe that we try to hold on for ourselves. We have this recipe that, say, for instance, like with my peach cobbler. I have people all the time, Doc, can you make a peach cobbler or that I make a chicken pan pie? Even though I don't eat chicken anymore, I still make it for people. And I can't tell you what the recipe is. I'm a Southern girl. When you are a Southern person that does soul food or any cooking, that any recipe, I don't do recipe. I just know what to put in it. And it's just like a timer. My hands will know. I know how many shakes. I know whatever. I just do it. And people like it. But I still like to keep that to myself. I still want to be the master over that peach cobbler because it gives me joy to give joy to someone that loves something that I've created. Okay? And I'm sure you can relate to this because most of us have something that we like to share. And we love that because what? They have to come to me to get it. Because if they like the one that I fix, only I can fix it. They have to come to me. So why did I use that as an example? To bring your thoughts and your mind and feelings, mothers, to one thing. You did not create your daughter. So you don't know the ingredients that she's made up of because you didn't create her. Now you got it. I felt it. Somebody got that. You know what? I didn't create her. You didn't create her? So you don't know the ingredients. You don't know what she's made up of. All you know is that you got pregnant. 9 months later, you had a baby. That in itself should tell you something. You can't do that by yourself. You didn't create that. And now you have this little girl that you don't know what she's made up of. So who created your daughter? That's the question. Answer that. Who do you need to consult with for the guidance for your daughter? That's the question. Mother, should you debate with your daughter? Who said you should not, and why not? Who has the answer to any question that you may have concerning your daughter? Question. If God is a teacher, what should you be, mothers? Question. Who has the lesson plan? If you didn't make up the lesson plan, who should you ask for a copy plan? Question. If you answered God to all of the above, you just completed an assessment of truth. Now, mothers, you are accountable from this moment on, because there is no doubt that you don't understand and that you don't know the truth, because now you know. Whatever you need to know, whatever answers you need, you got to go to the creator. You got to go to the person that has the master plan that can answer and tell you what you need to do at any given time. And that truth will set you free. It will set you free from debating with your daughters. It will set you free from the fear of what your daughter will think about you as a mother. It will set you free from hidden secrets from your daughters. It will set you free from disconnecting from your daughter. It will set you free from the uncomfortableness when you are around your daughter. It will set you free from not knowing how to openly share your thoughts and your love with your daughter. It will set you free from hidden secrets from your daughter, as well as hiding the true feelings of your love for your daughter. The truth is it, mothers. That's my take. I'm going to go to the switchboard. Anybody want to join us this morning, they can click on switchboard and we'll hear what you have to say. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm sitting out by the pool and just watching this waterfall here. Well, not a waterfall. It's, I don't know, sprinkle, whatever you want to call it. But it is just absolutely beautiful here in Florida. And I've just been out here the entire hour and just enjoying the show. And, you know, it's amazing how God always has us on the same wavelength. I'm reading an article because I'm getting ready to teach my favorite subject this term coming up Monday, psychology. And I'm teaching adult psychology this term. And the article I'm reading, what caught my attention, I learned this term several years ago called fictional finalism or fictional goals. We all have in our minds, or we create in our minds what we think it should be, because we have all of these symbols and all of these what we think a mother and daughter relationship is, what we think life should be about. But we don't, because God made the world and all of its complexities and people with all its complexities. Instead of us going to God, who has the plan, who knows how it's supposed to be, we have a fixation in our minds how we think it should be based on what we have seen as we're growing up. And that's where the issue comes in with people in general, that we think we have an idea. When God gives us vision, and we think that's the plan. And when you don't know how to go back to the Creator who created it all, and it will all unfold the way He wanted to unfold, we're going to always be tripping. And no, God never told us to debate. He told us to reason. So when you were saying that, I was like, God, you are just absolutely incredibly awesome. The wisdom and knowledge and how He allows us to be on the same path in the moment when we are getting ready to do this show, it always blows my mind. And I told you when I met you, I was supposed to meet you. And so God, He always sends us out in twos. And so you and I, man, He sends us out in twos, and He always makes sure that we can bounce off each other and make clear and give the audience what they need to hear in the moment. And it really is, Dr. Fletcher, about staying in the moment. When we learn to stay in the moment, we ain't thinking about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen. We can be on the same wavelength God would have us to be on. You're right. It is the enemy that tries to make us worry about what's to come, or make us fearful about, not fearful, but make us upset about what has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
And when we just learn to just stay right there, it's okay right there. And if it ain't okay right there, go to the Master, because He knows the plan in the moment. He's unfolding it as we think about it. And if you get out of your head, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that I would do when I'm doing speaking engagement or even counseling with some of my clients, I would teach them. So with conversation, I teach on the intro conversation, that ongoing conversation, and it can just get completely out of control if you allow it. And I tell them, I said, that you can't stop the conversation, but you can control it and you can manage it. And when I say, if things are crazy in your head and the words, your conversation, that's why you're not supposed to talk to a lot of people about what's going on in your life, because then everybody has an opinion, and that opinion, let me see, I'm trying to mute your phone just a little bit because you can hear it, but everybody has an opinion, and then you taking their opinion, your opinion, you got a hot mess going up in your head, all this chatter. But if you can just say to yourself, right now, this moment, I'm good. Right now, this moment, I'm good. If you keep saying that, it will bring a peace about you. These other conversations cannot play while you are talking. If you are talking, you just notice that those conversations will cease. It's only when you go to settle down, to rest your mind, will those conversations try to take over. That's what they do. So right now, this moment, I'm fine. And you'll get through it. Hello? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You're right. It is that ongoing conversation that takes us out of the peace in the moment. And I'm telling you, Dr. Fletcher, things can be going haywire. But if you just calm yourself down and give it a moment, you're okay. I'm sorry.
I tell
then
in
you
the future,
can hear from God.
You can't hear from God if you're busy. That's why He tells you to be still.
Yeah.
He said, be still and know that I'm God. What does that mean? Quiet yourself. I'm not going to talk to you in the midst of your stuff, because God is a very patient person. He's okay, well, I'll just wait on you. And then we wonder why things doesn't happen when we want it to happen, because we're prolonging things simply by having to, have our way, God, where are you? Why are you not moving now? Yada, yada, yada. And he's saying, when you finish, then, and you surrender, that's why you hear people say, when I surrendered, things change. What did it mean? It means they quiet themselves down. They settled themselves, and they got tired. They wore themselves out. Have you ever just gotten tired? You just say, oh, man.
It's like a kid. We are adult kids just throwing tantrums. But we can't have our way. And when people don't see things the way we see it and give us what we want when we want it, and then when God don't give us what we think we supposed to have, when we were supposed to have, it's like adults. We're like little kids throwing themselves on the floor. And we're just throwing tantrums. God looking at us, I'll wait, right? I'll wait.
I know that's right. That is so true.
When you get up off the floor, I'm still here.
And I'm not going to make me do anything. That's the key. That's why I'm talking about the truth this morning. See, when you get into the truth and you know the only person that has the truth is God, nobody else. You can talk to your girlfriend 24 hours a day. You can talk to your coworkers. You can talk to your family. None of them has the answer. You could talk to Dr. Bessie. I don't have the answer. I tell my clients all the time, I don't have your answer. God has the answer. And what we're going to do is just, God will use me to help stimulate a thought in your head so that you can have that aha moment to say, wow. Once you get the aha moment, that's when you believe it. Now,
yeah.
You only believe what you think you thought of because that came up inside of you. I could just take my word for it. So that reminds me of the time when I was having this tantrum, and God told me, go to bed. Stop crying like a little kid. He said, go to bed and go to sleep. I'm telling you, I sat on the side of the bed, and I don't remember going to sleep. It's just like something went back, just like that. I had cried so much, the snot cried. You know, eyes, what am I going to make God do? God, you are going to do. I mean, I didn't say it like that, but when I look back at it, that's what it was. I was going to make God do something. And
yeah,
I cried and went
to
my eyes closed. Told me to go to sleep. I woke up at 6 o'clock. He said, go to the bathroom and come back and let me talk to you. And I know people sometimes say to me, why is it that you say God talk to you? Because I've had conversations with God all my life. Listen at the birds. And
you hear them?
Can you mute your phone? Can you mute your phone?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so I came back. And I sat beside the bed, and as I sat beside the bed, God said, all that crying, having a fit, didn't move me at all. That doesn't move me. The only thing that moved me is faith. And I told you that. So all this extra that you're doing does not move me. You can cry. You can have a tantrum. But until you get into faith, that's when I move. And see, we have to learn that to be the truth, or we're always going to go around these mountains. We're always going to run into the rough side because what? We are not living in the space where God can move. Just a few weeks ago, we had a topic going, talking about God was saying, give me something to work with. Tell them, Bessie, if they give me something to work with, I can work miracles for them. They're waiting on it, but yet they don't really believe it can happen. If you have the thought, asking God for something, but yet in the back of your mind, if you just have a blink of a thought, this is an option of a thought, that it's not going to happen, that's that mustard seed doubt. You got to have the mustard seed faith, that option that, oh, yeah, this is going to happen because what God said. See, now God said, you gave me something to work with. You give me something to work with, and I'll surpass. I'll open up the windows of heaven and give you out a blessing that you wouldn't have room to to receive. If you give me something to work with, my hands are tied, Bessie, until you give me something to work with. Because otherwise, I would be a liar. I cannot go against my own word. So therefore, it's like a baby. The baby is walking, and you see that baby taking the first steps, and everybody just hovering around the baby, don't want the baby to fall. The baby just weaving and wobbing. And there you are, mother, trying to catch him because you don't want him to fall, and you just stand. Well, that's the way God is with us. We are weaving and wobbing just like little babies. And he's saying, okay, I got you. I don't want you to fall. But give me something to work with. Know that mother have you. Know that mother's here because you want that baby to see you. You want the baby to see that I'm right here, going to walk.
Dr. Fletcher, something just came to my mind when you said that. And that's even with God when we are throwing our tantrums. He can't reason with us when we're in that tantrum mode because we can't hear him. He said, I'm not going to talk over you. I'll wait. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'll wait.
And that's it, because he's a gentleman. He don't even tell you, you have to love him. I'll wait, because you know what? You will come. Everybody, he said, every knee will bow. So mothers, when you're in your mother and daughter relationship, and as I said earlier, you should not debate with your daughter, and your daughter should not debate with you. Because the only reason you're debating is because you're trying to hide something. That's it. You don't want to have you don't want to have an honest conversation. So when that daughter touches a spot that reminds you of something, the enemy just goes crazy. He's like, oh, see now, there she go. You don't want that to come out. So you just go on and you'll debate. And when the debate comes, when a word touches a familiar spot in your spirit and you know that to be the truth and you've been hiding that truth, what happens? You start talking real loud. You try to elevate your voice, and then the debate is on. And before you know it, mothers and daughters are not only arguing with each other. There are times when mothers and daughters have actually hit each other physically. Now, I'm telling you, I'm from the old school. If I even thought about hitting my mother, you would not be on this show this day with Dr. Bessie. It would not be, It would not be. That's all I can say. I just feel like my mother would actually take me completely out. But that's the way I was raised. I was raised with that level of respect that if mother said it, yes, ma'am. I respect that, and I live with that. Now, to hit my mother? Mm-mm. Not, no. And, in fact, I just can't imagine even anybody doing that.
But think about this, Dr. Fletcher. Even in those moments where you before your mother and when you before your daughter and y'all having a conversation, and like you said, your daughter says something that brings back to your mind, perhaps a mother feel at that moment that she feels like she failed her daughter, and that daughter is reminding her of that pretend failure, if you will. And so even then, we're not in the moment. We're back there where we think we failed them, and that's where the violence comes in.
That's a good thought. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. You're right. That is back then. It's a back then, what happened back then. Yeah, and that's where the enemy will get you. He's so crafty in his little trickeries to make you think, oh, well, see, she's judging you, but she did so-and-so and so, too. Because, see, daughters know a lot more about mothers than mothers think they know because they hear things. They hear other family members talking. There's always great secrets in the family, they think, but it always come out. And don't let a family member get angry with you. They get angry with you, they're going to tell your secret. That's what my mother used to tell me, she said. The only secret you have is the one that nobody knows but you and God. Other than that, if there's one other person that knows it, then it's not a secret, because that person has the liberty of sharing that information with someone else. If it's outside of you, there's a possibility it could be told.
And somebody always knows, Dr. Fletcher. You heard me?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody always knows. Somebody always knows something down the road. And so you might as well have that conversation with your children if you don't, because that's why we walk around here in fear. That's why we walk around here in anger, because we're holding all these secrets. And so when it comes up, it catches us by surprise that somebody knows, and now that you're feeling less about who you are, and so you're not in the moment anymore because you're way back there. And that's how the enemy works.
Mm-hmm.
He always puts somebody before you to bring some nonsense up about where you've been, because it ain't who you are right now, so what's the problem?
Right. But you're so busy trying to defend it because you want people to know that's not me right now. I'm not doing that.
Come on now.
We're trying to defend it.
Right,
right. We're trying to defend it because we are a different person in Christ. And the enemy wants somebody to think that you really not who you say you are. You cannot change. And that's the lie that most people buy into.
And that's when the debate comes in.
That's it. And mothers and daughters are on it. And that daughter's trying to say, don't judge me, when there's a log in your eye. And mothers, in order to close this out today, I hope you enjoyed this, but most importantly, I hope that you walk away knowing that, you know what, maybe I need to reevaluate. Go back and listen to the show again and pick up on the point that you have to go to the master in order to get the master plan for your daughter. See, it's not the daughter's responsibility for the mother. It's the mother's responsibility for the daughter. And when you get the master's plan and you teach that lesson, those lessons according to that plan, the end result is going to be, it's just like you sent there teaching a course. You got a plan of action. You know every step along the way. Nobody knows that but you, because you created it. And it's revealed to the students 1 week at a time, each class. They get a little piece. So every day, mothers, we are in a class, and every day we're going to receive a little piece of that lesson plan, and then we're going to be asked to do something. And once you do that, you're going to get your certificate when you get to heaven. That's my take on it. I hope you enjoyed it.
That was an excellent way of ending it, Dr. Fletcher. You put that was it, darling.
That's it. God bless us. Have a nice week. I'll see y'all next week.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.